o'clock.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, it's all about State of Origin, MG. Game one is in the books. New South Wales a 1-0 lead in the series. We're counting you down to game three this Sunday at Suncorp Stadium. And today, we're going to introduce our competition on how you can win tickets to game three.
Oh, so stay tuned. Can you imagine if Reece Walsh wasn't selected in this Origin game? Wouldn't be much to talk about at the moment, would there?
You're right.
New South Wales only made the one change. Queensland, the other change we don't really care about. But Reece Walsh, he's the flavour of the minute,
isn't
he?
He's the talk of both towns, so let's get into it.
What's cracking?
Queensland have selected 18-year-old Reece Walsh with just 7 first grade games to his name to start at fullback this Sunday at Suncorp Stadium. Now, MG, I know you're a fan. You love the selection. You think it's fantastic. Someone who is not such a fan is your former premiership coach and former New South Wales coach, Gus Gould. This is what he had to say on the selection last night on 100% Footy on Channel 9.
Maybe back in the day when they had Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk and Billy Slater and Jonathan Thurston and a tough forward pack and they were actually on a roll, it would be a good time to bring him into camp and let him see Origin football from the inside out. But to bring him into a team that was beaten 50-6 in game one, I think it's a disgraceful decision by the Queensland selectors. To be asking an 18-year-old to come in and solve this problem is not fair on the kid.
Gussie, come on, mate. You've got a mellow brother in your older age. Come on, you'd be the first to beat the drum saying this is fantastic for Origin. This is an opportunity that a dream fulfilled for young Reece Walsh. I think we've got a shout from the top of the trees. Well done, son. Gus Gould, if he wasn't the New Zealand, the club-wide consultant, I bet you he'd be banging the drum saying this is the best thing to happen in Origin for a long time. I can understand his rationale. He's got one eye on what he does with the Warriors and the other eye on the kid's growth as a player. And I suppose he's got genuine concerns. But if you're good enough, you're old enough. And he's definitely good enough. These kids come along once every generation. You know, I've got a list here of players who have gone on to play a stellar amount of games in the NRL who debuted around the same time as Reece Walsh. And,
well, before you get to your list, because I do want to hear it, because you have done a fantastic amount of research on this. You've done your homework. Reece Walsh, again, this 18-year-old kid, he fronted the media today to ask all of these questions and more. But here's the scary part for New South Wales. Here's Reece Walsh talking about his hero and somebody that has already become a mentor in Queensland camp for him.
Oh, mate, you can go past Billy Slater, mate. He's the best, and you look up to him, and inspire to be half the players one day would be amazing, mate. So definitely Billy.
You've got some team in camp.
Yeah, I spoke with Billy yesterday afternoon and went through a couple of things. So it was pretty good to have him in camp. Yeah, pretty crazy, mate. You see that sort of person playing for Queensland when you're a little kid, and myself, someone I looked up to, and to sit there and have a little chat with him is pretty special, mate.
This is a bloke that stole the bloody Wally Lewis medal in a losing series, MG. We've got to be concerned.
Well, Billy Slater's under the same opinion as Gus Gould. He doesn't think he was ready for it either, and that's Reece Walsh. So that would have been an interesting handshake when he said, "G'day, mate, welcome to camp. I don't think you should be here." But obviously Ben Eichen was 18, the youngest kid. He only played 4 games before being thrust into the Origin side in the Origin Arena in 95. Brad Fittler, Gus Gould's very own Brad Fittler, back in 1990 while playing for Penrith. He played 12 games and at 18 was thrown into the Origin Arena. The list goes on. Will Hoppawattie, he was 19, played 15 games. Brad Clyde, 19, 21 games. Jared Hayne, 25 games at 19. Israel Folau, he'd played 35 games. He was 19. And Jack Bird was only 20 when he got pulled into the Origin Arena. This Reece Walsh debate's going to go on. And if Queensland get hammered, they're going to say that was the worst decision ever made. If they win, well, it's going to be Reece Walsh's doing. So the kid kind of, he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't, I suppose, as far as his ability goes. But I reckon he's a fantastic young talent. What he's done with the Warriors, he's hit the ground running. He hasn't been backward in coming forward. And he's just the guy who has full of energy. You know that he's going to pop up anywhere. And I think we'll speak to Craig Fitzgibbon in a minute, the assistant coach of New South Wales, but I'm pretty sure he's going to get a few high balls off Nathan Cleary early on with Tommy Turbo and Latrell charging at him.
Yeah, I reckon Tarek Sims will get to him just as he lands from a high ball catch as well on a couple of occasions. Just quickly, Peter Bedell wrote a terrific piece in the Courier Mail a week or so ago about this young kid. And the elements that I think might make him... It's certainly
a bit more tougher.
I had some questions about them picking an 18-year-old, but reading this and reading his backstory and what he's gone through, the difficulties he's had in his life already, and the fact that he's a father. You know, we talk about these young kids in the game getting paid exorbitant amounts of money and you know, having people to look after their beck and call. This is a bloke who, even at the age of 18, has the responsibilities of a parent. And it changes you. You're a dad, you know. Oh, it changes you.
Of course it does. And look, it's one of them things that your steely resolve comes from being a dad. It's one of the things where you've got to care about somebody else beside yourself. Mm. And just to go back quickly on what Gus said about, you know, not having the Smiths and the Slaters and the Cronks and the Thurstons around there. Well, that's a team of once in a generation. I mean, when Ben Eichen played back in 95, they called it the worst team ever and they won 3-0. When Freddie was thrust into the arena in 1990, I don't think we're flying that well as New South Wales. And I think we're really underplaying the role that I think Cam Munster's going to play.
Absolutely.
Daly Cherry-Evans is going to play. Christian Welsh.
Josh
Papali'i.
Yep.
Kafusi. So, look, I think he's going to be well protected. Put it that way. I don't think he doesn't need a babysitter out in the arena at Suncorp on Sunday.
That is What's Kraken, brought to you by Kraken and Dry Premix, the taste you've been hunting for. MG, let's turn our attention to the New South Wales side. They are up in camp in Kingscliff, made the decision to get up there to avoid
very wise decision.
Ever-growing COVID cluster we're dealing with in the greater Sydney area. But this man is an integral part of the coaching setup, has been since Freddie's been in charge. He will be the coach of the Cronulla Sharks next year, but for now, he is one of the Blues assistants. He joins us on the line from Kingscliff, Craig Fitzgibbon. G'day, Fitzy.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
We are fantastic, buddy. Just firstly, this could be your last stint in Origin as an assistant, mate, after next year coaching the Sharkies. You a little bit sad by that?
Yeah, it's a little bit sad to think that it might come to an end. Sure, MG, it's been such fun with the crew that we've got in here. Obviously, Brandy and Betsy and hanging out with the Fred. It's been good, you know, and I'm going to be sad not to be around, that's for sure.
There's not an Origin out clause for the period next with the Sharkies, Fitzy?
We'll see, eh? I'll have to talk to the new bosses and see how we go, I think.
I just quietly, I don't like your chances. Fitzy, as Liam just alluded to, mate, you made the choice to go up the Kingscliff, wise choice. How were all the boys settled in, buddy?
Yeah, really good. It's quite nice up here, MG. I'm not sure if you've been up here, but I've got a good little facility where we're staying with the gym and spa and sauna and whatnot. The field's just 5 minutes in the vans. We're jumping in the minivans to get over there and train. So, look, it definitely was a wise decision to get up here. And, we trained well today and we'll have some recovery this afternoon with a bit of weights. But everything's as per usual. We're just in a different location.
Yeah, and a fantastic build-up to it. A shortened preparation, only the week to prepare for this one, which is probably a good thing, given everyone's club commitments as well. But pretty seamless change with Angus Crichton going in for Jakey Turbo.
Yeah, that's right. You're just it's pretty straightforward with that switch there. Obviously, Angus played a lot in there. And also, you're right about the 7 days. It does seem quite quick. You know, with other camps, you have a couple of days in and a day off during the week, and then that weekend the players go home back to the club, so it does stretch out quite a bit. So the 7 day turnaround's a quick one, and great, we're up here ready to get into the game.
Fitzy, the old adage is you win or you learn. 50-6 result in game one. Was there anything you and the other coaches could take away from that as far as learnings for this game on Sunday?
Yeah, we obviously thought there's some areas of improvement. Definitely happy with the way the guys performed. I think we left a few points out there, and obviously we had most of the control of the game there, so it won't be, you know, it doesn't happen that often at this level that you have so much control over a game. So we'll be working hard to get that control again, but it's very hard. We definitely think we can improve. Like, it's those players in there, they can do stuff that we can't coach. We've just got to make sure we're all on the same page and we feel like we've got another gear.
Ironically, the guy who is head coach of New South Wales, our ex-teammate, Brad Fittler, was only 18 himself when he made his Origin debut back in 1990. You face another young phenom on Sunday who basically has been getting every bit of press that's been available and that's in the build-up, Reece Walsh. Exciting young player, Fitzy.
Yeah, he is. He'll be one amongst many that we'll have to keep an eye on. But it's been a meteoric rise for Reece, and I think he's, I don't know how many games he's played in total now, but it's he's come out of the blocks as soon as he got to the Warriors, and I suppose took the NRL world by storm. But this is a step up, so we'll find out whether he's ready, and definitely he'll be in for a tough night at Suncorp there, and I don't think it's any different than any other player, but obviously his big game experience won't be where the other players are at, but he does seem like he's a pretty special player, so he might be up for it, but we'll find out.
Oh, I love that answer, MG. There was a lot in that. I like that. That was good.
We've just gone through before we spoke to you, Fitzy, about the top or the 10 players that have all debuted around the same age or with less games, and there's some very special players amongst them. So, he's going to obviously one to watch. That's a given.
We'll keep an eye out for him. Fitzy, can you break a story for us? Who will be presenting the jerseys to the Blues ahead of Game 2 on Sunday?
That one is a secret. No. Top secret, that one. There'll be, I'm certain of one thing, it'll be a good story after the presentation's done, though.
We think it might be BC.
I don't know.
Can you confirm the location of Boyd Cordner? Is he in camp with you at the moment?
I'm not sure where he is.
We know everything, mate. We know everything. Fitzy, if we turn our tables quickly to the Roosters, mate. What a year you have had. Obviously, injury, retirement, but still, like I said on the show yesterday, still gallant, against Penrith the other night. You got out to a 12-point lead. Given the circumstances, what a club you're associated with, mate.
Yeah, it is. It's an honour to be part of the club. I have been there for 10 years as a player, 10 as a coach, so it's like a huge part of my life. But just really proud to be a Rooster. The way that, whatever's been thrown up at us, we've just been able to turn up and put our best foot forward. But we've been, we can't hide from the fact we've been a little bit disappointed in our last couple of performances, though, MG. I think, we do expect better from us, and we'll be striving to get that. But, on the whole, for what we have had to overcome, we're extremely proud of the players and everyone associated with the club. We just seem to keep getting on with it. Now, obviously, Trent's the conductor of all that, and he doesn't flinch, and we don't flinch either. So it's been a challenging year, but very enjoyable in the same.
Speaking of proud, we haven't spoken to you since you've been appointed the Sharkies coach. Congratulations. I know you've been highly sought after by a lot of clubs, but again, we go back to some irony. Your dad, Alan, coached the Sharkies back in the late 80s, early 90s. It must be a fantastic honour for yourself to be coaching a club that your dad once coached.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, he was there for 7 years, MG. He was 4 years as an assistant and 3 as head coach. So I was the ball boy during that time. So
wow.
Yeah, it's interesting turn of events in the end. But look, I definitely am looking forward to it. But I've got I've got a bit going on. I'm a bit on my plate at the moment.
just a little bit.
Tracks it on. We're just talking about the Roosters. So I might have bitten off more than I can chew for this season. But no, look, I am. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, once the time comes, I'm sure I'll be ready to go.
Well, that might answer my question then, Fitzy, because are you in conversation with Josh Hannay at all?
Oh, yeah, I am occasionally. Yeah, we talk about other stuff, but probably, like I said, I'm probably standing here with, I've only got my Blues minds.
You need three eyes. You need one on the Blues, one on the Roosters, and one on the Sharks.
Yeah, no, it's been a challenge. But, look, I've been able to park it. I know that my time's coming to an end with the Roosters, so I'm really enjoying every day there. And this this week's all in focus on the Blues at the moment.
Very quickly, I need to know this, because we haven't been able to get into the camp to do the normal interviews that we would do because of the COVID situation. But James Maloney, famous pest in the Blues camp. Cody Walker, when he was a part of the group, he stepped into that role nicely. Has Jerome Luai taken up the mantle of the annoying 5'8 in camp?
he might be chirpy on the field, but he's a super humble, nice kid. He couldn't be quite polar opposite to what people probably think of him. He's a lovely kid. And, he's a real connector of the group and quite popular amongst the guys. And he's always walking around with his beatbox, playing tunes and singing and dancing. And, he's definitely no pest. He's a great, humble kid, but he's just a little competitor on the field. Rubs people up the wrong way, I suppose.
So what, is Cookie the pest? Who's taken on the pest mantle then?
We don't need a pest in the camp. We need him on the field.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Well, brother, this Sunday night, Freddie hasn't won up there. You, the coaching staff haven't won, I believe, since 2007 at Suncorp. So there's a first for everything. I know you wouldn't leave any stone unturned as you try and get the series win at Suncorp. And we wish you well, mate. We can't wait to speak to you next year as a Sharkies mentor.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
MG, we've got to talk about Usain Bolt in a minute because he's retired and, you know, he's dominated the last three Olympic Games. He won't be in Tokyo, but he's still making headlines.
Unbelievable.
But before we get to that, now, there's no first grade on this weekend. There's no NRL games. It's a week off. But we still want to have a bit of a look at the season. We're 15 rounds in and there's a race to the finals on its way after this State of Origin Game 2 this weekend. And so we wanted to do one of these.
Power. I got that power. Yeah. Favourite time of the week. Doesn't matter what the weather's like outside, we still get our shirts off and we go boom, boom, boom.
That's I got a bit of the winter warmer well, that's okay. coming
you
in. Still, I got a bit
you
of the
good with a singlet on and a beanie. Mate. I don't mind that.
With power rankings today, MG, we're having a look at the coaches, or specifically a group of coaches in the NRL.
The coaches that are new to the NRL this season, and that are, you know, there's only five of them. If you count Josh Hennay is the sixth, but he's an interim. So I left him out. What I did, I ranked these coaches from one to five on what they've done this year with their individual clubs that they're now coaching. And okay. Let me give a little bit of a caveat first that. I would have had Josh Hennay at number one.
You would have had him at one.
I would have had him at number one for what he's done at the Sharkies recently. I think it's been bloody fantastic. And what we got out of Craig Fitzgibbon earlier is that he seems to be having some sort of impact.
It was a little pause from Craig when I asked that question, wasn't there?
A little bit, but I think big pat in the back for Josh Hennay because he's, you know, he knows he's kind of, you know, he's not the coach next year, but he's been doing a fantastic job. But here's the five, the one of the current the coaches who have taken over the reins this year for their particular clubs.
Five.
Kevy Walters. Kevy finds himself at number five due to the fact that I don't think his Broncos have improved one iota. In fact, I think they've gone backwards. And the fact that they keep losing player after player after player is a major concern. I think the appointment only yesterday of Ben Eichen is an astute one. I think he'll be fantastic to work with Dave Donaghy. And in unison with Kevy Walters, I see this club in 12 months starting to see some sunshine.
He's been fighting with one hand tied behind his back, let's be honest.
Of course he has.
Yep, all right.
Sure. Trent Barrett. Trent Barrett has tried hard. You can tell that. You can tell the emotion of that first win when the tears were running down his cheek. Tells me that he loves this club after only being there for a short term. Again, I can see some sunshine coming Trent Barrett's way with the troops are on their way, Trent. Just take it easy.
They're coming over the hill.
Three.
Todd Payton. I predicted the Cowboys to come last this season, and they are seventh at the minute, and I'm loving what I'm seeing with Todd Payton. Look, he made a huge call earlier in the year with his best player, Jason Taumalolo. He said that he needs to do more in defence. He called him out, and I thought it was the wrong thing to do, but who am I to say that? He's the coach. He knows what he's doing, and he's got his team beautifully poised in seventh position with 10 rounds of footy to go. So well done. Bravo, Todd Payton.
You had him in the running for Coach of the Year last year on his interim job that he did with the Warriors. You loved him last year. Okay.
Two.
Nathan Brown. Brownie, for what he's done with this club, kind of carried on from where Todd Payton left off. I give these guys extra kudos because they're doing it from away from their homeland, and which would be so, so hard. It'd be so, so hard. And I said to you last year, Liam, when we spoke about Todd Payton, imagine reversing the situation. Imagine saying to this team, okay, we're going to New Zealand for 18 months to live and to play rugby league.
Yeah.
That'd be so hard. And he still sits just outside the eight. They're battling away, the Warriors. I think they're going to have a wet sail type of run home because they get to play, I think in a couple of weeks' time, they're playing a home game against the Dragons over in New Zealand. So that'll be mad for them. And I think it's going to be one of them occasions where they farewell Roger and say, okay, let's go, boys.
And what about the astuteness of the Reece Walsh pickup? I mean, you talk about this – it was panic stations when it was announced that Roger Tuivasa-Sheck was leaving for rugby union next year. They're like, this is their best player in the most important position, and now they've gone and found this 18-year-old kid who sounds like he's absolutely loving it at the Warriors as well.
Peter O'Sullivan, the recruitment officer, has done another magnificent job with him. And look, you've said that beautifully. Well done.
These are MG's power rankings, the 5-1 new coaches in their NRL this season. Kevy Walters at 5, Trent Barrett at 4, Todd Payton at 3, Nathan Brown at 2.
1.
Goes to Hook Griffin. Most predicted the Dragons to come last. Most experts, I look back over a lot of predictions in the last few hours before we came on air, and majority said that the Dragons are going to come last. Well, they're sitting in 8th position somehow. I don't know. I think the acquisition of McCullough has strengthened their resolve a bit around the ruck. But I think the most astute thing he's done was made Ben Hunt the skipper, because Ben Hunt's playing a vintage year. He's playing how he did a few years ago for the Broncos. Hasn't played like this since he's been at the Dragons, but I think the Hook knew how to push the buttons. He's got Tarek Sims back in the Origin arena. Look, and we all thought, once Tyson Frizzell leaves, that'll be woes for them. But he introduced young Terrell Sloan last weekend. So, look, I think Hook Griffin, out of all the 5 coaches, has done the best job so far this year.
And to hold a team together whilst telling your half or your 5'8 and your fullback you're not required, it's tremendous work. He's got them playing together. Very nice, MG. All right, we are almost done. But before we go, I want to turn your attention, MG, to parenting, to fatherhood. You and I are both fathers, and
it's my favourite job.
It's your favourite job. You've got 5, I've got 2. But a big part of parenting is obviously naming your children.
Well, that was hard for us. So I basically, I had the boys and Meg's had the girls.
Is that the way you divvied it up?
Oh, we
you still had input, obviously.
We had a major input, but then I said, look, we like the same type of name, so I'll go boys, you go the girls.
You've got some really unique and great kid names, but I want to play a little game with you.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, it's Whose Kid Is It Anyway?
Whose kid is it?
Actually, now that I've played that opener, this is a dangerous game.
Why are our legal team at the window? What's going on here? Are you going to do a paternity test on or something?
Why are people with cotton swabs walking yes. into the studio?
Wow. My statue's nervous out there, isn't it?
That is not the reason. That is not the type of game we're going to play. No, what I want to discuss is you're an athlete, MG, and you had to name your children.
Yes.
And there's always a weight that comes with that, because your children, inevitably, because of who you are going to have a level of public notoriety. People
100%.
Are going to know who you are. And
yes.
who they are as a result. So, you had to weigh up your children's names, no doubt. You couldn't call any of them Gaia. That would just be ridiculous, and they'd be... Or did that come up? Was that one of the...
Maybe Guy would have been nice.
Guy.
Just to piss one of my sons off.
Jeez. Hey, if it had been Mav, he would have played angry.
Oh, you would have.
The boy named Sue. But we love it when athletes go out on... go weird and wonderful when they name their kids. Famously, George Foreman. 5 sons.
Georgie.
They're all called George. He's called them all George.
And wasn't one of his daughters Georgina
or something? Yep. Yeah. So, a little bit of a narcissist, old George. But there's a new one in the world of strange athlete names. Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
Now, he's already got a daughter who I believe is around 2, whose name is Olympia Lightning.
Oh, she's got to be fast.
She can't be an accountant, can she?
No. Unless she's a fast typer.
Well, yeah. So, but he's also had twin sons. He and his partner have had twin sons. And yesterday it was Father's Day in America, and he put up a post, a shot of the family, and Olympia's sitting front and center. And then he's got his 2 little boys either side. His middle name is obviously Usain St. Leo Bolt.
Yep.
And that
yep.
he has named one of his sons Saint. So his name is Saint Leo Bolt.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a nice name, isn't it?
That's a nice name. Saint, being called a saint.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose there's a little bit of pressure as well.
Your mum and dad took that off the table with you when they came.
Yeah,
we can't call this one saint. But it's the second twin that I think, I'm interested to get your take. Usain Bolt now has a son called Thunder.
Thunderbolt. Wow, he's in some, oh my goodness. He's going to be a WWE wrestler.
Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt.
No, but they make wrestlers' names up. They don't, like, you know. No.
Well, that's yeah. Well, I suppose when you say, you know what, I think he's going to be the Rebel, that twin. That twin, because he's going to have the Saint and you got the Thunder. Who's going to be the kid who's going to go down the straight and narrow? It's going to be Saint.
I hadn't thought about that.
Thunder's going to be explosive, man. He's going to Thunder by name, Thunder by nature, Daddy. I'm going to be like you, a fast man.
Now with his daughter, he's got thunder and lightning in the family. But
very, very frightening.
Exactly. I think about it from, you know how when you're trying to name your dogs or a pet and you go, well, if I take them to the park, I've got to think about shouting this name out in the park.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
I can't
yeah,
call
yeah.
it something, you know, yeah. too weird.
Like, yeah. Leaf.
But I'm just imagining you saying taking the kids to the park.
Hey, he won't care.
Thunder!
Lightning!
Thunder!
Lightning!
Thankfully, does he still live in Jamaica? Oh, they probably don't get too much thunder and lightning.
I'm not sure. Then. I'm not sure. But anyway. He must be a Queen fan as well.
No, Thunderbolt, Thunderbolt. I'm just glad he didn't call his kid Andrew.
Andrew Bolt? Oh, of course. What about he could he might name his next kid Nutson.
We're going. Say goodbye.
As always, thank you so much for your ears, you beautiful people. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay very, very random like we are.